Our opening words are by Dag Hammarskjöld. Each morning we must hold out the chalice of our being to receive, to carry, and to give back. So please join me in an attitude of prayer followed by silent meditation, and then an opportunity to light a candle to focus on special events, memories, and hopes in our lives. We pray to the angels of our better nature and the still small voice that can speak to us when we feel safe enough to listen. Help us to love people and causes outside of ourselves that we may be enlarged to include them. Help us remember that we are never as alone or as powerless as we think. Help us remember that we can, if we will, invest ourselves in relationships, institutions, and causes that transcend and expand us. Help us guard our hearts against those relationships and activities that diminish us and weaken our life force. And help us give our hearts to those relationships that might, with our help, expand our souls and our worlds. We know that every day, both life and death, are set before us. Let us have the faith and courage to choose those involvements that can lead us toward life more abundant. And help us find the will to serve those life-giving involvements with our heart, our mind, and our spirit. We ask that we may see more clearly in these matters, and that we may have the will to hold to those relationships that demand and cherish the very best in us. Just that, just those. Amen.
When I learned about the words of the choir's final concert of the year, a poem titled Cloudburst by Octavio Paz, I realized that some work I did a few years ago would fit the choir's theme. There are some clear links between the poetry of Paz and the spiritual writings of one of my long-term heroes, Dag Hammarskjöld. I realized that the music I could provide to illustrate the themes of which Hammarskjöld wrote are available on a CD I own called Remembrance. And the musicians whom you will hear on this particular CD are two world-class working musicians I am honored to know, Peter Tiefenbach, piano, and Stuart Lawton, trumpet. Now, about this book, Markings, I haven't mentioned it yet. Dag Hammarskjöld wrote a book titled Markings, which is a journaling of his spiritual experiences through his life. This is my copy. You can see it's a bit shredded. As a matter of fact, I almost didn't bring it today because I'm a little concerned about its condition. But this book, Markings, has been so important to me. I never entrust it into the boxes of books that are carried by the movers whenever I move. It goes with me in my car every year when I move. I first discovered these meditations when I was an undergraduate, and they have helped me throughout my life. Markings is a journal of meditations written by Dag Hammarskjöld, who was Secretary General of the United Nations from his first election in 1953 until his death in a plane crash near Northern Rhodesia, as it was then called, in 1961. Dag Hammarskjöld was born in 1905 in an educated and influential family in Sweden. He distinguished himself in many fields. He held his own in sophisticated dialogues about theology. He was truly a Renaissance man. In 1949, he represented Sweden at the United Nations, then an organization only 4 years old. When he became Secretary General, he was involved in struggles on three continents, and he approached matters with what he called preventive diplomacy. When he died, he was flying into harm's way in order to achieve a ceasefire between the Congolese troops and the non-combatant forces of the United Nations. A year before his death, he spoke at the dedication of the buildings of the University of Chicago Law School. He said, and this is the first of his quotes that I'll bring to you today, "Working at the edge of the development of human society is work on the brink of the unknown. Much of what is done will one day prove to have been of little avail. That is no excuse for the failure to act in accordance with our best understanding, in recognition of its limits, but with faith in the ultimate result of the creative evolution in which it is our privilege to cooperate." These words to me sum up his existential position, one that appears over and over again in his spiritual journey. Markings is its title in English, but when he wrote it in Swedish, he titled it Vagmarken, which has the meaning of those paint markers that we place on trees and fence posts as we pass so that we can find our way back. They also show us where we have been and prevent us from becoming lost. They can give us the sense that someone has taken the time, has cared enough for us to indicate a path for persons who come afterwards. And this service offers markings for those of us who are looking for a way. Dag Hammarskjöld wrote his first entry in Markings somewhere between 1925 and 1930. And this is the first of the one that I'm most familiar with. "I am being driven forward into an unknown land. The path grows steeper, the air colder and sharper. A wind from my unknown goal stirs the strings of expectation. Still the question, shall I ever get there? There where life resounds a clear, pure note in the silence." Part two. We see in Markings Dag Hammarskjöld working out his own understanding, his own meaning of life, death, and faith, his work in the world, and how all those parts relate to one another. The language he uses is often God language, traditional on the surface, but with the interpretation of his own mind and spirit. I will read to you a few selections as he wrote them, including the gender-exclusive language that we all used in those days. He found the freedom in the freedom of mysticism, both from the West and the East, some direction for his life. And he wrote in 1955, "Faith is the union of God and the soul," St. John of the Cross. "Faith is, it cannot therefore be comprehended, far less identified with, the formula in which we paraphrase what is. En la noche oscura, the dark night of the soul, so dark that we may not even look for faith. The night in Gethsemane when the last friends left to you have fallen asleep, all the others are seeking your downfall, and God is silent." End quote. The silence of God in this meditation is expressed as a void he wants to fill, which is for him an additional burden. However, later he finds silence as a positive experience. He says later, "The best and most wonderful thing that can happen to you in this life is that you should be silent and let God work and speak." In his introspection, he acknowledges his identity as one who strives against all odds. And to be silent and uncomplaining in the world is his goal, as he writes, just 2 months before his death, the following, quote, "Tired and lonely, so tired the heart aches. Meltwater trickles down the rocks. The fingers are numb, the knees tremble. It is now, now that you must not give in. On the path of the others are resting places, places in the sun where they can meet. But this is not your path. It is now, now that you must not fail. Weep if you can weep, but do not complain. The way chose you, and you must be thankful." I call that music resolve music. It is now, now that you must not fail. Markings Part 3. But far from being a recluse, as you might imagine from his writings on silence and stillness, Hammarskjöld was a person in the public eye every day. He was responsible for negotiations with heads of state and with leaders of non-governmental associations. Every day, he headed a vast enterprise centered in New York City that maintained a presence all over the world. He asserted his ideas, his solutions. He was not a bystander in the world of affairs. His time for contemplation was scarce, and he was engaged unceasingly in making a difference in a world that was often on the ragged edge of chaos. Many of the writings in Markings have to do with these responsibilities and being worthy of them. He says almost nothing of the duties themselves, nor of the persons with whom he comes into contact, but he is constantly concerned with the meaning of what he is doing. In a passage reminiscent of mountain climbing, he writes, and in this particular passage, when he says thy, he is referring to God. He writes, "Forward, thy orders are given in secret. May I always hear them and obey. Forward, whatever distance I have covered, it does not give me the right to halt. Forward, it is the attention given to the last steps before the summit which decides the value of all that went before." Reflecting in 1960, a year before he died, on the sacrifices that he has made in his life that he felt were very important, he says this, "The road, you shall follow it. The fun, you shall forget it. The cup, you shall empty it. The pain, you shall conceal it. The truth, you shall be told it. The end, you shall endure it." In a passage that is familiar to many, he writes of his self-questioning, and finally an answer comes, quote, "I don't know who or what put the question. I don't know when it was put. I don't even remember answering, but at some moment I did answer yes to someone or something. And from that hour, I was certain that existence is meaningful and that therefore my life in self-surrender had a goal. From that moment, I have known what it means not to look back and to take no thought for the morrow." Who knows if he might have had a premonition of his own death? He seemed prepared for it at any moment. This last writing in his journal, August 24, 1961, shows a new sense of time and place. And I just want to comment to you that Toward the end of this poem, of this passage, I think you will find a great sense of link with the words from Octavio Paz that the choir will be singing in a very few minutes. And I will point that out as we come to it. This particular passage has the word days, D-A-Y apostrophe S. And what it means is that which belongs to day. Hard to say in English that because it sounds like another days. So he begins like, he goes like this, beginning. Is it a new country in another world of reality than days? Or did I live there before day was? I awoke to an ordinary morning with gray light reflected from the street, but still remembered the dark blue night above the tree line, the open moor in moonlight, the crest in shadow. Remembered other dreams of the same mountain country. Twice I stood on its summits. I stayed by its remotest lake and followed the river toward its source. The seasons have changed, and the light and the weather and the hour, but it is the same land, and I begin to know the map and to get my bearings. T.S. Eliot said it also, to arrive where we started and know the place for the first time. And as Octavio Paz says in the translation, we must find the lost word and remember what the blood, the tides, the earth, and the body say, and return to the point of departure. The place he knew was one of challenge, self-sacrifice, and self-realization. The life he knew was one of service, great effort for perhaps little gain, and striving toward wholeness and peace. The land he knew was the world of strife, conflict, and occasional respite. Still, he tells us, my favorite line, thanks to those who have taught me this, thanks to the days which have taught me this. And we give thanks for the persons and the days that teach us. So may it be.
And our parting words today are from John Wesley. Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can.
This is a presentation of the First Unitarian Universalist Church of Austin. For more information, visit our website at www.austinuu.org.